We do have several prayer requests today, and this first one is for Troy Waugh, who was diagnosed with brain cancer. He's the son of Glenna Hollis, the Country Dove, one of the owners there.
Okay.
And we want to continue to pray for Chris Cannon, who was involved in a terrible accident last week. A pipe blew up and hit him in the head and the arm. And I tell you, you want to know how God works things. There happened to be a roustabout crew there. There happened to be an EMT that was part of that roustabout crew.
Wow.
And they were able to get him the help he needed immediately, medevied him to the city. And he had to have a plate and some screws put in his head and a surgery the next day for the repairs on two places in his arm that was broken. Word was yesterday that he's doing amazingly well for everything he's gone through. Mm. So we're just believing that he's going to have complete healing. It'll be, you know, be a long process probably, but he's going to have complete healing. And then we want to continue to pray for Sherry Hensley, who was recently diagnosed with leukemia. Now, she lived in Cheyenne for years, but they moved to New Mexico a few years ago. But right now, she and her husband are headed to Albuquerque for treatment, and they're anticipating 2 to 4 weeks in the hospital. And then Ryan Casey, we prayed for him probably a year or so ago that we were praying for Ryan. He had cancer, but he's having an MRI this morning. This is a high school kid. Or he may not even be high school. He's maybe about 13 years old.
Junior
high, probably. We just want to pray for perfect results. He had cancer last year, and we're just agreeing with him and the family that he is still cancer-free.
All right. Lord, Father, we come to you this morning. We lift Troy Wall to you, God. Father, we know that cancer is just another name that has to bow to the King of Kings, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know, Father, that you are our healer. Lord God, that you have given us, the word declares, by the stripes of Christ that we are healed. So, Lord, we speak healing and health and wellness to Troy this morning. God, we would ask you that you would turn this thing around to be a glorious testimony of the power of God in your kingdom, and that you would use it to bring masses of people into the kingdom of God. Pray, God, that you would give him comfort, give him direction, give him wisdom and peace, him and that whole family. Lord, we pray for Chris Cannon through the accident that he's been involved in. God, we just give you praise and honor and glory for having the right people there in that situation. God, it's just obvious to me that you know exactly what you're doing in the midst of all of these things. So, God, we just ask that you would use this thing as a testimony for you. Father, I pray that his recovery would be tremendously faster than what the doctors might say. God, that you would restore to him everything that they say might be lost very quickly, God. And, again, that you would shine and that your glory would be seen in the midst of that. Father, we pray for Sherry Hensley. This morning, God, we come against leukemia. We bind that thing up and cast it down in Jesus' name, Lord. We know, God, that leukemia can be a thing that moves in the blood, but God, we declare that the blood of Jesus Christ is flowing in her body to bring healing and health and wellness, God. Pray that that she would have that peace and comfort and walk through this and come out a champion for the glory of God. And Lord, Ryan Casey, we just pray that his results and this MRI this morning, God, we just pray that it would defy all logic, that it would be clear. And God, we just pray that you would just set in with comfort for him and his family. Give them wisdom and direction, the doctors who are in the midst of this, God, and have it your way, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. In every one of these situations, we praise you that you are sovereign, that you are ruler, that you are God and King, and that you are a good Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, before we get into some of our other sponsors, I'd like for you to share with our listeners what where your church is, the name of it, what time you have services.
Okay, yeah. We are at 1424 South Simpson Street here in Elk City. Our church is called Community Connection, and we have services on Sunday nights at 6. We went through a season. We were having them in the mornings, but we have God has really connected us and called us to be a help to churches, if that makes sense. We have connections with other churches, and we're helping some of those people, some of those churches do some things within their body, And so we have kind of a ministry to other churches and fellowships, and that's really a big part of why God had given me the name Community Connection Fellowship. We're all about the church and unity in the body of Christ and helping other churches. You know, it's incredible. It's incredible how many pastors and things out there that are on an island. The statistics are that pastors don't really even have someone they can call a friend. Mm-hmm. They give and pour out of themselves so much, and they have no one usually around. And so, God's kind of, he's placed us in a unique place to help some of them. And I'm forever grateful for, we were in an awesome church for 30 years and had such a great support system around us, all of the leadership and people in ministry. And, God is, he's really just opened doors and avenue for us to kind of help and be that with other churches. And it's absolutely amazing. It's awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in the Promise Center at 321 North Main. And you can call Les if you want an appointment at 580-799-0743. And then Prophetic Voice Ministries, led by Apostle Casey Elliott, is at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. They have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, and church again at 6 o'clock. And then they have a Bible study on Thursday evening. The Refuge Church, which I believe is called Refuge New Liberty or Refuge Liberty? Refuge at New Liberty. 18304 East 1140 Road at Sayre. They have services at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. That's Sunday school, and then Sunday worship at 10:45. Evening Bible study at 6, and Wednesday Bible study at 7. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey is the pastor there. And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors. As I said early in the program, Grants Auction Realty is our Facebook sponsor today.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grants Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grants Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
From all of us here at PK & Company, great job, Barbara Dyson Ford, on your 5th President's Award. Thank you for your loyalty to our community.
This is Curtis Hutchinson. All of us here at Hutchinson Oil congratulate Barbara Dyson on your 5th President's Award. You deserve it.
Chad Smith here with Smith Ag. Congrats to Barbara Dyson on your 5th President's Award for your amazing customer service.
We want to thank all of you, our customers, as we celebrate this prestigious award. Come experience the difference at Barbara Dyson Ford and check us out at BarbaraDysonFord.net. Let us pray.
I clicked on it to turn it off and not to get to the outro, but it jumps in there anyway. We are ready to hear some more from you, Jason.
I thought you was trying to run me off.
No. I'm ready for point number 4.
Point number 4, yeah. Talking about keys of the kingdom and the best life possible. So point number 4. And this is it might be a little drawn out for you, but this is a key of the kingdom to have this attitude. Number 4, Lord, what do you want to do today? Mm-hmm. Get that key out every morning. When your feet hit the floor, Lord, what do you want to do today? Now, and it goes into everything. Don't look at it as, oh, hey, what prestigious ministry do you have for me today? It's not what it's about. It's about, Lord, what do you want to do? What is it that you want to do today? Here, in my relationships, in my marriage, in my finances, in whatever, in my job, whatever it is, God, just whatever you want to do, here I am. What do you want to do? Now, I'm just going to tell you this. If you are going to bake a cake, and we'll say that's your life today, you know, the cake is being baked. There's ingredients involved and all sorts of things that come into play, temperature of the oven. There's set times that have to be cooked, maybe even a certain way. You want to cream your butter and sugar together. You know, you want that to mix and meld. You don't want it to just throw it all together. The outcome might be okay, but I'm going to tell you this right now. If you'll heat that butter and you'll cream that sugar and butter together, it'll make for a way better cake. You see, my point is this. God has a thing laid out for you today that he has multiple things laid out, and it might be just as simple as baking a cake. Or you can be like most of us men are and just look at the picture on the front and start throwing all the stuff in a pan and mixing it all together. And then we get it out of the oven and we look at the box and we look at the cake and we go, wow, something happened. It doesn't look right. Well, you didn't follow the instructions. Lord, what do you want to do? What are your instructions? How do you want me to proceed today? Now, Proverbs says that the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I'm not telling you to get so completely consumed to a point where you're just going to sit on your tail end and not do anything until you hear from the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this: Lord, these are the things that I have before my life today. God, I've got to go here and do this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that. I've got to take care of this with my wife or my husband or whatever. I got to have the kid. God, you know I have all these things to do. These are my plans. What do you want to do in all of that? Lead me and guide me. The truth about what the word Lord means is this: boss. It's what it means, boss. Lord Jesus, boss of my life. What do you want to do when I'm taking the kids to soccer practice? What do you want to do at the football game tonight? What do you want to do when I go check my mail at the post office? Lord, here I am. What do you want to do? Give me the instructions so that the cake will look and taste right at the end of the day. What do you want to do? Matthew 5:14. Jesus said that you are a city on a hill. Your life is the platform from which he wants to work and shine. This is a key to getting the kingdom of heaven to the earth. It's through you. You are the city on a hill. You're his kid, and he wants to work through you and in everything that you touch. He doesn't want us listening to the other voice that's going to wreck. Here's the deal. You take your kid to peewee football practice, and the coach does or says something you don't like, and the next thing you know, you're mad, and you and him are in a screaming match, and you look like an idiot. He looks like an idiot. Your kids are embarrassed, and half the other kids are laughing at the situation. And I want to just say, that cake fell in the oven, and it's flat, and you're probably going to want to throw it out. My point being is this: there's a lot of things you have in front of you today, and we ought to be saying, Lord, what do you want to do in the midst of that? What do you want to do? Ephesians 2:10, again, God's prepared works beforehand. You're a city on a hill, and he's got a lot of stuff that he wants you to walk in today. And can you imagine asking God, who has this supernatural agenda of the kingdom of God, what he wants to do, and him going, nah, nothing. No, he's got a lot of stuff he wants to do. Take that key and ask him, Lord, what do you want to do? As soon as your feet hit the floor in the morning, God wants to work through you everywhere and in everything, and he's got a set of directions for your life. The heart of man plans his way, but it's the Lord who directs his steps. So go ahead, plan your day. Go ahead and walk out into the world, but always have it on your mind. Lord, what do you want to do? When I'm walking in, I do it. A lot of times, one of the first places that I walk into of a morning in public is the post office. And every time I get out of my vehicle, I say, Lord, surround me with the atmosphere, the breath of your presence, God. What do you want to do in here? Touch people as I walk by. Let the air that comes off my body as I pass by them, let it touch others in here. Let your glory come in the post office right here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Some of you might think that's nuts, but I'm going to tell you this. It is the voice. It is the voice of the Father echoing across the cosmos. My kingdom and my will, I want it to come through you. Let's not be distracted by walking in the post office thinking, what bill am I going to have? What bad news is going to be in there? What negative thing am I going to pull out of there? No, let's not do it that way. Be careful again. Listen to the voice that's come to give you life and life to the max instead of the other voice. Lord, what do you want to do today? I'm telling you, you're not going to ever ask God, what do you want to do? And he's going to say, nothing. He's always going to have something, always. You might not hear it immediately, but stay in that mode and go about your business, but stay in that mode. This is where Paul said, pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean to just go in your prayer closet and close the door and stay there on your knees all day, because, listen, there's another proverb that says this: hard work leads to profit, but mere talk to poverty. Mm-hmm. So that's not what Paul was talking about. What Paul was talking about was stay in a mode of connection with the Father in your circumstances, in your surroundings, in your friends group, at your job. Stay in a mode of open communication of, hey, whatever it is you want to do, Lord, I'm game. I'm good. I'm going to go to work on this, and you have your way in me. So what do you want to do? Number five, become charitable. And I don't want you to get confused here. They're actually one and the same. Become charitable, become loving. 1 Peter 4:8-9. Above all things, have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. The love between us and God is made manifest between us and our fellow man. Let love have its perfect work in your life. Let love, God is love, right? So let love become charitable. There's this powerful thing. John 13:15 says, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. Charity is a pure form of love. There are many places in the New Testament where charity is actually used instead of the word love. Now, you think about this for a minute. We've got to begin to adopt the perspective of God when it comes to love, because man's love will always fall short, but God's will never fall short. Matter of fact, the word says in 1 Corinthians there that love never fails. And what it really means is this: love, his kind of love, agape, unconditional love, it never runs out. You can't exhaust it. It will always be there, and it will never quit. It'll never give up. It's always going to be there. And that's the love that we have in us. It is the voice of the cosmos of God that's flowing in us. It's his life that's happening. We've got to be yielded to that and become charitable. Remember, Paul said, be imitators of God as just like you're his kids. Act like he does. Act like him. Imitate him. Act like him. It's a faith choice. You got it? It's a faith choice to say, I'm going to become charitable. I'm going to love. Here's the thing about this word charity, where the Bible uses it in place of love. Charity is, this is the way charity works. You give and you get nothing back. When you give to a charity, that's, you know, in our society, when you give to a charitable foundation or whatever, when you give to a charity, you get nothing in return. You're giving just to be giving. Mm-hmm. That's what the love of God is. Become charitable. Do things without expecting something back from somebody else, because that's who God is. You will never exhaust the resources. And I'm talking about not just money. I'm talking about peace. Give people peace. You got it. Give it to them. Give them encouragement. Give them love. Give them grace. Give them mercy. Just like earlier we were talking about, having disagreements with other church philosophies or theologies and thinking and doctrines. What good is it to differ on opinion to the point that we further divide? The body of Christ is the body of Christ. It's not a bunch of different cells that are against each other. Every cell in your body is for one another. Every cell that's floating around in your body works in perfect harmony and union. Christ being the central point of agreement is the most powerful concept that we'll ever get. Become charitable, love, and give, and encourage and speak life. This voice of God that echoes through the ages across the cosmos, that Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Turn that thing loose and let it become the power of love and charity wherever you go and in all that you do, and you will see a different world. It is one of the most powerful, I might say it is the most powerful, because God is love. If you will allow that to flow through you, it is the most powerful key that holds the power to change everything. Love is the currency of God's kingdom. And if you'll spend it, now here's what I'm going to tell you right now. God is a lavish giver. Mm-hmm. He is a lavish giver. And the currency of his kingdom is love. And if you'll spend that love like there is no tomorrow, you'll see a different world every day. It's a powerful key of the kingdom. Become charitable. Charity is a pure form of love. And, you know, when we think about relational love, it's reciprocal. But charity is not. It's not reciprocal is what I'm getting at. Think about a love between a man and a woman or friends, you know. It's a reciprocal thing. But the love of God is like charity. It's not. He just does it. He can't help it. He's a giver, a lavish giver. Love, 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 love. We ought to be praying for others instead of talking about their faults. We really ought to. And you know, this thing that we had went through in Romans 12 and motivational gifts, and maybe next time I might talk about that. But when you begin to understand those seven personality gifts that God has given to mankind, and I'm going to tell you right now, there's only seven of them. You're going to fall into one of them. And some of them will overlap. You might be strong in one or two of them or three, but one of them will always be your strongest trait. But when you begin to understand what they look like, even outside the lordship of Jesus, because I'm telling you, whether you know him or you don't know him, you have one of those personalities. Outside of his lordship, they look a little bit different, but they're the same. They look a little different. Inside his lordship, they're beautiful and powerful. But when you begin to understand those, you'll begin to look at people and say, wow, God made that person that way. He's a little askew, or she's a little askew, you know, maybe not under the lordship of Jesus, but I see that God put that in there, you know. So it's important to let this love of God flow through us. Become charitable. Number six, the last one. Have a servant's heart. Develop a servant's heart. Jesus was the greatest servant. And he said he did nothing of himself. Philippians 2, 5 through 7 says this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it to be robbery, or did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a bondservant, and came in the likeness of men. The God of all creation humbled himself, became a man, and came here to serve humankind, mankind. Such an incredible thing. This is the God of all creation, the one who holds all power, all rule, is sovereign over everything, is omnipotent and omnipresent. And this is God himself. He made himself a man and came here to serve man. Become a servant. It is one of the most powerful keys of the kingdom out there. When you would prefer others above yourself, you know, yeah, listen, I know that people will walk on you because of it, but the outcome will always be better if we will take on the form of a servant. Jesus, the ultimate servant, lives in us. We've got to begin to allow that to happen. You know, a servant has this mentality in conversation with others, other church people, other non-church people. A true servant, this is the heart of Jesus. When you have a conversation with someone, an interaction with someone, is what I'm saying trying to prove a point, or is it trying to improve our relationship? Am I trying to prove my point that I know more than you, or that you need to do this? That's not a servant. It's not a servant. A servant's heart, the heart of Christ, says, am I trying to do that, or am I trying to improve relationship? because a servant is all about serving and building and edifying others and building relationship. We've got to take on that servant's heart. It's in you. It's in you. Jesus is in you. Matthew 23:11, Jesus said this, whoever's greatest among you will be your servant. Become more like Christ in that way. And it's a faith choice, guys. You know, it's like I say, these aren't 6 points of works. They're choices in faith to surrender and yield. You know what? If I declare this, you know what? I'm going to be a servant of God today. I choose to have a servant's heart toward other people that I'm going to come in contact with. You know how I can do that? I can choose to do that in faith because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's the servant. It's not me, it's him. All I'm doing is yielding. All of these 6 points, all they are is yielding. They are yielding to be willing to seek first the kingdom above all else and not let the other things come in as a distraction. It's not about works. It's about surrender and obedience. Now, I said, I promised this. I'm going to issue a challenge here. And Matthew 26, there's this story. Something big is about to happen on the planet. Matter of fact, it's not just something big. It's the biggest thing that would ever happen on the planet. It's going to be the crucifixion. It's going to be God's plan coming to fruition to set mankind free. It's going to be the ultimate plan of God to establish his kingdom and rule forever in the heart of man. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he takes three with him. He takes Peter, James, and John. And he tells them, he says, there's something in front of me, and I'm completely distraught. It's so heavy. I'm going to go pray about it. And I want you guys to sit here and watch. You stay right here, and you watch with me. And I'm going to go pray. So he goes away, and he prays. And you remember that prayer, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He's gone. He comes back. He finds them asleep. He wakes them up. And he said, hey, I'm telling you, I'm going through hell on earth here. I'm under so much pressure. And the greatest move of God on earth ever is fixing to happen. It's something big's afoot here, guys, and I need you. I need you to watch with me and pray. Can you just watch and pray? And he said, stay here and watch and pray. Proshuke, offer yourself to God. Stand with me in this time. So he goes away and does it again. He prays the same prayer. Comes back, found him asleep. That happened 3 times. He went away and prayed and comes back and finds him asleep 3 times. In the middle of that, Jesus says this thing. He says this thing about watching and praying, standing with me in the time of the powerful moving of God. It's happening. It's happening all around you. Everywhere today, that movement is still happening. There will be no end to the increase of his kingdom ever. He did what he did, and it will never come to an end. It is all expanding at the speed of light in every direction. His glory, his power, his love, his life, his light. Everything that he is, everything that he wants to do is happening right now everywhere around you. And he is calling us in this way. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Could you not give me 1 hour to watch and to pray, to be a co-laborer, to get involved with what it is I'm doing here? We've got opposition everywhere, and the greatest move of God that will ever be seen is happening. It has never stopped happening from that point. So I want to issue a challenge to everyone today. I did this with our group. I want to issue a 30-day challenge, and I'll promise you this. If you'll do this for 30 days, you'll never stop doing it for the rest of your life. You won't quit. You won't quit. Because this is the essence of taste and see that the Lord is good. You will not stop. it'll be that pineapple upside down cake you can't quit eating until you're sick to your stomach, and then you want another one. I want to issue a 30-day challenge to give God 1 hour of your day every day. I don't care if it's 4 15-minute increments. I don't care if it's 30 minutes and then 30 minutes again, whatever it is. And I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you spend 10 minutes reading and 30 minutes praying and the rest meditate. I don't care how it is. You can simply sit in the quiet of your home and just think toward the Lord. Empty your mind of everything and just think toward the Lord. Just think toward the Lord. If you will give him that hour every day. You got 24 of them. I know you can spare one for him. And so we issued that challenge, and we're going to do it. And I know we're a little over time, but I got this. This is the closing. You know, preachers, we always have closings, and sometimes they take longer than the message. This one won't. Very simple closing. These keys, these things that we talked about, and I'm just telling you, they're just a scratch of the surface, but they're important. They're important keys, and they'll get you to the rest of them and in a fast and in a hurry. These keys are essentially Christ in you, the hope of glory. They are Him in you. That's what they are. They're a faith choice, a yielding to. Now, we talked about the two voices. We talked about these keys. We talked about not listening to one voice and listening to the other. And I'm going to give you three little examples here. You may have heard this before, but it's really a powerful concept. You take an egg, you take a potato, and you got a coffee bean. We got three things laid out here. And I've got three pots of boiling water, and they represent life here on earth. These pots of boiling water, they just represent life on earth. Jesus never guaranteed that we wouldn't have problems. Matter of fact, he said, you will have problems. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Guess what? You know what he's telling you? There's nothing on this planet or that exists anywhere that can defeat me. And I am in you. So you take the egg and you put it in boiling water. And what happens to it? The egg, which was once protected by a hard outer shell but was soft inside, what happens to it?
It gets hard.
It becomes hard. It becomes calloused. Then you take the potato, who was once hard and strong and firm, and you put him in the water. What happens to him?
Soft.
It becomes soft. You take the coffee bean and you put him in the water. What happens?
You have fragrant coffee.
That's right. He changes the environment. The Christ in you, the voice of the King that says, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly, is the coffee bean inside of you. It's the keys of the kingdom. God wants to get you mixed up out there in the hot water of life and allow the fragrance of the kingdom to change everything in its environment. But if we listen to the wrong voice, we're going to be like the egg and become hard in life toward others and ourselves, or we may become so soft that we can't even function or hold up anymore. Listen to the voice that says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let the coffee bean do its work in your life. Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for all it is that you're saying. We choose to listen to the voice of the King and close the door on the other voice today, God. Let our confession continually be about the goodness and power and glory and love and life of our King. Father, I pray that every heart, every ear that has heard these words this morning, I pray that it would bring forth good, good fruit in their lives. Let it change us all in the image of your glory forever. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You have been listening to The Hour of Power. From me, Neva, from Monica, from Pastor Jason. Have a blessed day. We'll see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray. Let us pray.
We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.